The Sunday Grill on Beat 102-103.
There are farmers markets across the country, but Mountain View outside Ballyhale in County Kilkenny is probably an Instagrammer's dream. I see it constantly on social media feeds. Now Mountain View are holding a foodie fest over the Maybank holiday weekend. It's celebrating food for the mind, body and soul. Guests will have opportunities to do really intriguing things, and Bea O'Grady from Mountain View joins me on the Sunday Grill this morning to tell us more. Hiya, Bea.
Hi Orla, how are you?
Really good. How are you doing?
Good, thank you. Good. Thanks for having me on, Orla.
No bother at all, and it's a busy time for you. Tell us how you came up with the idea of the Foodie Fest.
Oh gosh, Orla, I suppose another mad notion actually here in Mountain View. That we seem to be going from one thing to, we have a pathway, but I suppose the Foodie Fest came about, Orla, really the concept of it came about, obviously we're predominantly a food market or whatever on a Sunday, and everybody comes for the renowned food trucks and everything, but I suppose it was something that was in my head, and I had discussed it with a girl actually who got married, which is Laura from Elite Nutrition. We had, because she's very much into her food and healthy eating and fitness and well-being. And all through COVID, I had been following a girl on Instagram. She just was of interest because she was so natural. But her story, Alana Sheehan, her story was just resonated with me in my line of work as a palliative care specialist nurse. And, you know, just I was very intrigued. You know, she was diagnosed with a brain tumor, a rare brain tumor. And, you know, prognosis wasn't looking good for her, but she is a chef in her real life and food was predominantly her thing. And just her story was amazing. And while we don't have any clinical research into juicing, or I have no evidence based backup, I do know that, you know, food is hugely important in, you know, inflammatory markers and everything in cancer. Mm-hmm. And what we eat is very, very much out there at the moment. So I was following Alana, and probably sometimes I didn't like, I'd unfollow her sometimes because I didn't like what I was seeing sometimes, because I was afraid something's going to happen to her. And I just, oh, you know, it's the usual thing, I suppose, when you're palliative care, you're obsessed with death maybe and that. But Alana was fighting, and she was really fighting, and you know, her mindset and what she was putting into her body, she was juicing, predominantly juicing. And I just was so intrigued by it all, because I just thought, like, it has to correlate, you know, food has to kind of be the answer to a lot of things. So I suppose I was talking to Laura about it from Elite Nutrition, and Laura had said the very same, and she's quite passionate about, she's very wholesome eater from the ground, from everything. So we just decided to kind of come together on it and just see what way we could, you know, open the doors. But Laura had got the master chefs from the UK to come in. Wow. And as well, yeah, so that was kind of a big draw. So it, you know, Alana's coming, so we've a lot going on with Colin Power, with a lot of water, with Coleman in. Yeah, we have Karen McGrath. We have, you know, we've a lot coming from Waterford direction as well to us for the day. So I suppose it's going to be a good day, Orla, really, because you have all the master chefs center stage. I think there's 8 master chefs in that day. There's a lot of different people too. There's a lot of skin specialists. Dr. David Brennan, our local GP, is in, and there is a guy coming in to talk about, I think plants, not just Coleman, just, you know, medicinal purposes as well. So there's lots of little things going on the day, but I think the big draw is the BBC are doing it. The BBC cameramen are over, and they're doing the MasterChef thing all day.
Wow.
And we have barbecue, and you know it's on the website foodiefest.ie, so it's all the information is there. But I suppose it was predominantly started, Orla, just really because of my interest in food for health and food as medicine.
And if that's not necessarily your interest, you have so much going on. Like, you can cook with the master chefs, for example, and then they will be giving cookery demonstrations. So there's lots of other stuff happening, isn't there?
There is. There's little things. I think, you know, we have two, we're renowned for our two goats, Pablo and Diablo, and they're really getting very much into the market spirit now. They come up every Sunday and they walk, have a look around the market and check out the stalls themselves now. And everybody's getting very concerned about the dogs. And I'd be more concerned about, not about the goats, but the dog. They're concerned about, the dogs run after the goats. It's more like the goats run after the dogs, actually. So they're kind of, yeah. So we have Pilates, a kids Pilates class with the two boys. And so that should be fun as well. So there's lots of little things.
How LA? Yeah. That's very Beverly Hills, having goat yoga.
Well, I think it's probably not more the Beverly Hills vibe. It's more the hills of Mountain View vibe, because the goats won't stay in the paddock and they're coming out. So they're going to join in whether they want it or not.
I love a goat. I think a goat is my favourite animal. They're just so bold and they don't think of anyone but themselves.
No. Honestly, they're just... they have their own personalities and they just go about their business every Sunday morning, and, you know, dare you interfere with them and they let you know. But I know it's good crack.
You've really grabbed a hold of something, Bea, when it comes to your farmer's market and Mountain View and everything you do there. As I was saying at the start, it just pops up on my Instagram so much. People there and people sharing, your producers sharing. What do you think it is about Mountain View that people have just come to really love?
I don't really think Arlith Mountain View, to be honest, but what I really think it is, it's community. Mm. I think people just love coming together. And I think there is no community. You know, if you're not in the GAA, I suppose, then that's another day's work. So what do you have other than that? But I see a lot of regulars. They come every Sunday morning. They bring their dog for a walk. It's a routine. It's a habit. They come in, they get their coffee, they get a pastry, they go home. Maybe sometimes they stay, they have a bit of lunch. It's affordable, I think. You know, because I suppose our food ethos is very much, well, we have a new chef with us at the moment, Keith Boyle, and he's Waterford based as well. Keith, you know, Keith is very kind. Well, it's not, he's not with us, but he is that fine dining vibe or whatever.
This is in your restaurant, in Mountain View.
He's in the restaurant, but it's still, see, to me, food has to be affordable. It's a basic human right, so it has to be affordable to everybody. And the ethos around food has to be that, you know, to reach out to people. People can have whatever they want, you know. And I think the exploration too of food from around the world, because there's so many different food trucks that you can experience, you know, like the bao buns, or you can experience the kimchi burgers. You can, you know, just different things. And that people are coming up with a lot of vegan food guys in. We have the oven is in and the crazy veg is in. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they really do... They want to get their food out there, and they want to see kind of, you know, people to experience plant-based foods. And then you have your meaty burger as well. So there's, you know, there's something for everybody, I suppose, in it. And kids and families come and, you know, they sit, they eat together. You have to sit with other people. You're chatting to people. Mm. You know, the dogs are interacting with people. So, you know, it's a full, I think it's not really Mountain View. I just think it's a community really based thing, you know.
How lovely. And I suppose you have such an ability to roam as well, that you can walk up to the restaurant area and, as you said, sit up there or wander down to the markets. It's every Sunday between 10 and 4, but you're not all year round. Isn't that right?
We're very much, I suppose, seasonal too. The weather has changed so much, Orla, you know. It really has in the last, you know, it just has been a little bit crazy, you know. I've never seen a wet winter, you know, so it doesn't, the ground is not able for it either, and you have to kind of give the ground time to repair itself as well. So it really is easier to do it kind of from, you know, mid-March. We came back a little bit earlier this year because of St. Patrick's Day and when it fell on the Sunday. And so we will probably finish up the end of September. We'll have a few night markets and then we'll open back up. I'm thinking the end of November, the guys said they were going to open back up. So so that'll be, yeah, that's kind of, we need the break too, Orla.
We need the break.
And you know, yeah, crafters need time to, you know, restock and remake stuff, because a lot of it is handmade. Like a lot of the guys, especially with CC Creatives in, and, you know, a lot of their stock is handmade. So they have to have time to catch up and,
yeah, of course,
and restock.
So much going on, and such regional producers as well from all across the southeast. But as we said, what we're talking about today is your Foodie Fest, which is on over the Maybank holiday on the Saturday and Sunday. And the big thing is that you have 7 contestants from the hit BBC show MasterChef, and they're collaborating with Mountain View and Elite Living Nutrition for this food festival. And they're going to be doing lots of different masterclasses, And other masterclasses there too. Apart from the MasterChef people, are you doing stuff like injury prevention, like you said, Pilates and yoga, skincare? It's all happening. Probably the best place to go is, would we say Instagram, or we send people to your website or to foodiefest.ie?
Yeah, foodiefest.ie, or, you know, they'll see it on markets at Mountain View, or Mountain View, the main page. Tickets, I think, are on sale on Eventbrite. It's a part of the proceeds are going to the Irish Cancer Society. So that's why we're charging into it, really, just on this occasion. Normally, we don't into our normal market, but it's just we're trying to raise funds for the Irish Cancer Society as well.
Okay, good stuff. Well, it is a foodie fest. It is at Mountain View, just outside Ballyhale in County Kilkenny. And Mountain View, the market and the restaurant, all open on Sundays between 10 and 4 if you want to check it out. And what about the restaurant? Is the restaurant open all week long then?
Yeah, the restaurant is back open, back in full swing Friday, Saturday and Sunday. And on the bank holiday weekend, on the Saturday night, I think there, I was told this morning, there is some tickets still left for the MasterChef dinner. So that's that's kind of good. And that's really, I suppose, event not to be missed, I suppose, because that is where they're all going to come together and collaborate. And Keith, our executive head chef, Keith Boyle, is going to, they're going to create a meal for that event. Wow. So it really, and we have music, live music that night as well. So
brilliant stuff. What an experience. Foodiefest.ie if you want to get more details in association with Mountain View in Kilkenny and Elite Living Nutrition. Thanks a million for joining me, Bea.
Thanks, Sarah. Thanks so much for having me, as always.
The Sunday Grill on Beat 102-103.
Well, Aoife from Beat News joins me in studio to talk us through some of the news you might have missed from the southeast and beyond this week. We're talking the triumphant return to Carlow of a horse called I Am Maximus, Braz, and when Sauce and an iconic doll come together for the greatest marketing ploy of this year. Hello, Aoife.
How are you, Orla Apple?
I'm very well. How are you doing on this Sunday morning?
Not too bad. A few quirky ones up my sleeve, so I do.
I love that you have a few quirky ones. And if you head over to our socials, to Beat102103's Instagram, you will see our first story. And that is the triumphant return of I Am Maximus to his Loughlin Bridge home in County Carlow.
Yeah, so I Am Maximus, for those who don't know, if you've been living under a rock the past week or so, he won the Grand National at Aintree on Saturday. And of course, trained by our own Willie Mullins, the Carlow trainer. So a triumphant win for him. A fantastic return to Loughlin Bridge during the week. Our own Dana Kearney was there, and we have videos up on social, but he was paraded over the bridge. The crowds were out. The Carlow flags
like
were flying.
Hurling final return for the horse I Am Maximus. A beautiful looking horse, I have to say.
Yeah, a beautiful looking horse, a gelding. So he can't produce any offspring, as we found out on Beat Breakfast this week. But the lads on Beat Breakfast had a question. They wanted to know if I Am Maximus knew if he won the Grand National or not. What do you think the answer is, Orla?
I would think horses always seem like they're quite intelligent to me, so I would say yes, and that he would be quite proud of his win. It was quite the feat that he did.
Yeah, well, look, you can only imagine with the crowds and all the rest at Aintree. But anyway, we found an expert. So Niall and Joe found an expert, and this is what Sarah had to say on Beat Breakfast earlier on this week.
This correspondent even has a horse in her WhatsApp
profile
picture.
Yeah, so we know it's the real deal. Sarah, good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you this morning?
Good.
We're good, hon.
Now, my first question before we get to the little education of our show is about, we know horses are so intelligent. How much awareness would this horse, I Am Maximus, have that he's the main man in town right now?
They have a huge amount of awareness. I mean, they thrive like we do. You know, they have the same kind of endorphins that, you know, any champion would at the end of the day. You know, they're a sporting athlete. So, I mean, they know the crowds, they love it, they thrive on it. It's amazing. A horse has an amazing brain.
I do often wonder that, you know, immediately after the race when they're absolutely bet and they have to do the victory parade at the big races, I'm kind of like going, do they appreciate what's going on, that people are making a fuss over them?
Well, I think us horsey people assume that they do. So, yeah, I'm going to say 100% they do, without a doubt. Absolutely. Like, Who wouldn't want the whole world cheering and clapping at them?
Who wouldn't want the whole world cheering and clapping at you is right. How amazing.
I don't don't think I would, to be honest with you. I'm one of those people. I didn't have a 21st. I don't intend on having a 30th. I hate being the centre of attention.
Wow, I love being the centre of attention. It might be my favourite thing in the world. So well done, Aya Maximus. You had a party that I would be proud of. So fair play to you. Fair play to Loughlin Bridge in County Carlow as well. And of course,
Carlow Rising.
Will we talk brass?
We will. We'll talk brass now. So in the UK at the moment, there are calls made by the British Society of Radiographers for the current VAT on brass to be scrapped.
Proper order.
Do you think so?
Yeah, do you not?
I think we've changed a lot. A few years ago, it was all about free the nip. Now they're paying us to wear brass. They're sick of the nip.
I was never a free the nip person, I have to say.
So the British Society of Radiographers, they're saying increased bra costs is discouraging women from buying well-fitted bras. A poor fitted bra can actually cause you physical pain.
I agree with that.
Yeah, so it's not all about the aesthetics. This is actually about the medical reasons for getting your bra fitted.
Yeah.
I have to say now, Orla, I'd say the last time I got a bra fitted, I was around 14 years of age. And I'll tell you one thing, I'm sure it's different now. And it is true, I guess, like what they're saying here as well, in terms of bra sizes and the cost of bras. If you want a good bra, you're paying big bucks for it. And they obviously want one that's well fitted, that does its job. So, yeah, like I think, you know, I can imagine that if it happens in the UK, that Ireland will follow suit in time, as is the case often.
How many bras do you have, Aoife?
I'd say I have... Genuinely now, Orla, I'd say I have about three.
Yeah, I only have about
less,
three too.
Maybe less.
You know, there's people in the world who could have 10, 12 bras. No. I think I have a sports bra and two bras.
And I
was, is that a terrible confession on a Sunday morning?
Not at all. Free the nip.
Now, don't free the nip. Thank you very much.
Next, we are going to talk barbecue sauce.
I love this.
Yeah.
This is... there is a marketing guy or girl out there who is just coining it in now because they've come up with this and they work in Heinz.
Yeah. So barbecue sauce isn't just your regular barbecue sauce. This is Hey Barbecue Sauce. If you've watched the movie
Hey
starring...
Barbecue Sauce.
If you watch the movie starring Margot Robbie, you will have seen the Barbie trend, which has just taken over the world, you could say, the past year. I mean, look at me now. I'm standing here beside you, Orla, and I'm wearing a hot pink top. It's in fashion. It's in the cinema, and now it's down the supermarket aisle.
So it's a mix of vegan mayo and barbecue sauce, and then beetroot turns it pink. And that's why it's a beautiful pink colour sauce.
Yeah, I have to say I'm a big fan of beetroot.
Oh.
Mooncoin beetroot, support local and all the rest. So this is a vegan mayonnaise, right? But they're actually looking as well at pairing it with some ketchup.
Oh.
So Barbie and ketchup.
Well, those people are so smart because I never would have thought of ketchup. So well done them. Let's finish up this morning with some news during the week that we could have an over 30s nightclub.
Yeah, I have to say I absolutely love this story.
Not even 30 she is and she loves this story.
Yeah, well, my only qualm about all of this is that apparently it would be all wrapped up by 11 o'clock in the night and I'm kind of saying to myself, is this what's ahead of me?
No, you'll always find a house party, Aoife, don't you worry.
So this is the Over 30s nightclub, which is set to open in Cypress Avenue in Cork, so not too many miles away. Mm-hmm. So Club 30 kicks off from next month and it plays only 80s, 90s and noughties music. Mm-hmm. But get this, it starts at 6 o'clock in the evening and finishes up, wraps up at 10 o'clock. So you could have your kebab in hand in bed by 11.
Okay. I don't know, that'd have to be a once-off for me. The 6 o'clock would have me. I wouldn't be ready for anything at 6 o'clock.
No, sure. I mean, you wrap up work there at 5. Yeah. Like, you're not going to get ready within an hour.
No, but that's at least a 2 hour.
Yeah, but this is sold out already. This sold out so quickly. So obviously there's an appetite out there. But we were just chatting about this in the office and I was saying, like, I'm in my mid-20s at the moment and my generation don't go to nightclubs. Mm. So... it's funny that they've started an over 30s nightclub, but
for
I
the
would
generation
say,
who are always in nightclubs.
Yeah, like I mean, like say for example, my cousins and stuff, like they would have always been out and about in the nightclubs. Whereas like me and my friends are like, you know, quite pint or a bit of live music, but obviously the appetite is there for the people over the age of 30. They're still ready to bop. They don't give a rat's arse about who's looking at them, and they're ready for the night out, a Maniac 2000.
Oh, I would be on the dance floor. I think when we moved down to Waterford first for Beat, we were out Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and possibly Tuesday for Ruby Tuesdays, if anyone remembers.
Well,
that.
I think Orla Apple, I'll be dragging you out now next weekend. Mm-hmm. She'll be coming in here next Sunday morning, lads, and she'll be a bit hoarse.
A little bit hoarse after screaming Maniac 2000 at the top of my lungs. Some great news coming out of the southeast and beyond. That is Aoife Kearns from Beat News. Thanks a million.
The Sunday Grill on Beat 102 103.
It's a Sunday morning. You're listening to the Sunday Grill here on Beat 102 and 103. And a film festival with a difference comes to Wexford and Waterford this week. In fact, the Japanese Film Festival says they're the only truly national film festival in Ireland. They're having two screenings in Wexford Arts Centre, three at Garter Lane in Waterford. Well, if you're not convinced, Stephen McNeice, the Special Project Officer from Access Cinema, is on the phone to tell us more. And I love foreign films. Stephen, I love a storyline, but what I mostly like is that I am not looking at my phone when I'm reading subtitles.
Yeah, that's fair. I think we're very grateful that the like Netflix and you know, things like Squid Game have really opened up the audience for foreign language film. But you know, there is nothing, as you say, like being in a cinema screen or an arts centre screen and watching a film there. It's the best way to get yourself engrossed.
It really is. And also those, you know, the smaller of the cinemas as well. It has a lovely kind of intimate feel to it, doesn't it?
It does indeed, yeah.
So tell us a little bit about the Japanese Film Festival, and why do you say it's the only truly international film festival in Ireland?
Yeah, so Japanese Film Festival is in its 15th year now. I've been involved for quite a few years, I think since 2016. The festival is a collaboration between ourselves and Access Cinema, and we're the we're the resource organisation for kind of cultural cinema in Ireland. So basically what that means is we work with art centres, film clubs right around the country, everything from voluntary film clubs to, you know, kind of professional art centres to, you know, help coordinate and, you know, curate their international film program. And one of the key things when we got involved with the film festival all those years ago is that we really wanted to bring these films to audiences right across the country, not just Dublin and Cork and Galway. So that's why, you know, you'll see we're involved in nine towns and cities this year, which is fantastic. Obviously, we've actually already been to Waterford. That happened earlier in the month.
Oh, okay.
We had three very successful screenings there in Garter Lane. I think Perfect Days was a sellout. Now, for the second year in a row, we're now coming back to Wexford Arts Centre next Tuesday, April the 23rd, for two films, for two screenings.
Brilliant stuff. And those two screenings are Lonely Castle in the Manor and then Perfect Days as well, is coming to Wexford Arts Centre too. Tell us a little bit about both those movies. One of them is anime, is that right?
Yes, correct. Lonely Castle in the Mirror is kind of one of the highlights of our anime program. It's proven very popular right across the screenings that have happened so far. So we're delighted to be able to bring it to Wexford. It's a kind of it's a coming of age story, a fantasy about a group of teenagers who travel through mysterious portals in the mirror and wind up in this opulent castle together. They're all kind of lonely and have you know, different things going on in their lives, and they're kind of tasked with discovering the castle secret in time to kind of be offered a wish. But they're also warned that, you know, there'll be serious consequences for whoever breaks the castle's unusual rules. But it's a really beautiful moving. I think we just screened in Dublin over the weekend, and there was barely a dry eye in the house. So that'll be definitely one for anime fans. And then after that, we have Perfect Days, which has been a firm favorite right across anywhere that it's screened so far. Mm. And this is the new film from German director Wim Wenders.
Okay.
But it is this absolutely beautiful story about, of all things, a Tokyo toilet attendant who we just kind of see going around his daily life, just, you know, doing his job, but also kind of just going home, listening to music, you know, listening to his records. But it's just a really beautifully observed, calm, meditative film that's kind of funny and warm and emotional. It has this incredible lead performance from a very esteemed Japanese actor called Koji Yakujo, who is a some people who've been to our festival over the years will be definitely familiar with his face, but he just gives a stunning performance that won the Best Actor Award of last year's Cannes Film Festival. So it's one not to be missed. I know it's already selling out very well. It's already selling very well in Wexford, so I hope we have a full house for it as well.
And how would you describe Japanese film? Is it quite eclectic? I know anime is a big part of cinema life, but it's a lot of other stuff as well, or does it focus on one genre?
Yeah, it's very eclectic, and I think that's one of our main programming goals with the festival, is to try and bring that, you know, real mix of Japanese films to audiences. Like, you know, anime is going from strength to strength. We've had some very big hits in recent years, kind of like Your Name, Suzumi, and just recently Boy and the Heron, the Studio Ghibli film, which have all lived here, fantastic films. And we'd like to bring some of the kind of, you know, anime that might not get as wide a commercial release during the festival. But, like, you know, just looking at our festival program right across the country, it has everything from, you know, horror comedy to gentle meditative dramas like Perfect Days. So we really try to bring whatever we can. There's just so much. It's one of the kind of richest, of all the countries in the world, it has one of the richest cinematic heritages, and that kind of continues to this day.
Oh, really?
And we really want to bring that to audiences in Ireland.
And am I right in saying that a Japanese film won the Best Foreign Film Oscar a few years ago as well? So they do quite well.
There's been a long tradition of kind of, you know, Japanese films, you know, having a very high profile, you know, kind of along with France. I would say they're probably, you know, the most successful cinematic export. And now I know Korea is now kind of, you know, creeping up there as well, thanks to the success of films like Parasite.
Yeah, of course.
Japanese film still has a huge cultural footprint.
Okay, I'm going to ask you, it's like asking your favourite child, but if people could only get to one of those movies in Wexford this week, which one would you say, would you recommend?
I think Perfect Days is a film for everyone. I think, okay, you know, there's I know my own parents who had a very little interest in Japanese films heard it was playing in Bray as part of the festival there and left at the opportunity to see it. I think it just has this very wide appeal, and, you know, has played like absolute gangbusters everywhere it's shown so far. So I think that's an easy recommendation.
And are people thinking it's anime, so anyone can go to anime? And can anyone go to anime? Could, like, kids go to Lonely Castle in the Mirror, for example?
Well, it's actually a club rated film, so that means it's not classified. So unfortunately, younger audiences won't be allowed in. But Perfect Days is actually PG, so that literally is a film for everyone, pretty much. But Lonely Castle in the Mirror it would definitely be something that would, I think, appeal to young adults most. It kind of has that real, for all its fantasy elements, it has a real element of truth, and kind of, you know, its portrayal of teenage life is very accurate and emotional. So I think it would appeal to older teenagers and young adults very much.
Good stuff. Well, listen, if people want to get tickets, they can go to the jff.ie website, or they can go to wexfordartcentre.ie as well. And the dates for those two films in Wexford Arts Centre are, and I have to scroll down because you've been all over the place, really. You're really at the final kind of stages of this, aren't you?
We are, yes. Yeah.
So they're both on Tuesday in Wexford Arts Centre. That's this coming Tuesday, April 23rd. Lonely Castle in the Mirror is on at 4:45, and then Perfect Days is on at 8 o'clock. And again, I'm almost being glib and saying it's a real chance not to look at your phones, but there is something really special about going and seeing a film in a different language. My last film I went to the cinema to see, Stephen, before the pandemic hit, I think the pandemic hit 2 days later, was Parasite. And it still kind of stays with me because you're just engrossed in it, and having to read the subtitles makes you almost more engrossed. Would you think the same?
Oh, absolutely. And I think, you know, Parasite was a brilliant example of, you know, I think you're probably not the only person who didn't see anything else after that before lockdown hit. But I still think it was like, was it the highest grossing foreign language film of all time in the UK and Ireland? And that was even with it With yeah. It's curtailed release. So
exactly. Yeah. That was even with the pandemic in the mix. Well, listen, thanks a million for talking to me. Wexford Arts Centre is probably the best place to go if you want to book tickets for this coming Tuesday to watch either of those Japanese movies as part of the Japanese Film Festival. And you've been around for years, so we will hear again next April what is happening in the Japanese Film Festival. Thanks a million, Stephen.
Thanks so much, Ola.
The Sunday Grill on Beat 102-103.
It's a Sunday, you're listening to The Sunday Grill, and you might remember Dev Patel in Slumdog Millionaire. Well, he has his why is this hard for me now? Directorial debut with Monkey Man. Are you ready for this blurb now, Brian?
Yes. Oh, I'm sure you... Oh, wait, I have...
Put it in my own words.
Okay. Does it begin with an anonymous young man?
Yeah.
It's crazy that IMDb's is the same, but continue.
Oh, no, no, I didn't get it from there. Okay. An anonymous young man ekes out...
No, yeah.
Phew. A meager living in an underground fight club where, night after night, wearing a gorilla mask... Who came up with that? He's beaten bloody by more popular fighters for cash. After years of suppressed rage, he discovers a way to infiltrate the enclave of the city's sinister elite. I have no idea what any of that means.
So Jordan Peele. A gorilla is like big.
Yeah, I know the gorilla.
A mask is something you wear on your face. Okay.
Fighting.
Yeah, fighting.
For cash.
You understand? Yeah, there you go. You see, you're getting through it. And then the rest of it is just pure madness.
Yeah.
You get it. You get there.
So I saw Jordan Peele as one of the producers and I thought, oh, this will be good. And then I listened to this and I was like,
Breathe.
They brought fire and terror to the land. Until they face the protector of the people. The white monkey.
There you are. You are a beast.
In this city, the rich don't see us as people.
Give me the job no one wants to do.
I'll do it.
Anyone who forgets their place doesn't turn out well for them.
This is not the place to work if you can't handle that sort of stuff.
Every day, I've prayed for a way to protect the weak.
I've got an answer to every prayer. I call on Nikki.
Minaj, big bumper.
Nice headlights.
Let's boogie.
That is Monkey Man. What a strange name. And I know why it's called that, but it just doesn't give you any connotations of anything. It tells you nothing.
Yeah, and you know what? Brilliant. Orla, I needed this movie. Not just, I enjoyed
myself. I've gone through the reviews and the reviews are not good.
Well, in life you only ever happen to listen to one review and that's me.
And that's not Brian.
What? So this, like, I was looking forward to this. Ever since I saw that trailer, I was so in. I was so in.
Okay.
I was like mad looking forward to it. I was like, I know this is going to be a good movie. And then when I heard the stories of the behind the scenes of, so you're saying Jordan Peele is executive producer.
Mm-hmm.
So Jordan, this was supposed to just be like
a streamer,
casually released.
Yeah.
And Jordan Peele made Universal buy it.
Okay.
Like he went in and he was like, you're buying this. They bought it for 10 million. And then opening day, it made 10.1 million.
So Jordan Peele, what do you mean he bought it? He bought it after
the fact? He made Universal buy distribution rights.
So it had been made.
It was just going to be a streaming movie.
Okay.
And that was it.
Okay.
But like, it's fantastic.
He saw it. He believed in it.
It's the exact spirit of cinema, do you know? It's it's the thing of, there's a load of stories behind the scenes. Dev Patel did his own stunts in it. He broke his shoulder, broke fingers, broke everything in it. And even there's this thing that they didn't have the budget for this scene where he lands on and breaks a table. So they had to glue the table back together between scenes. And I'm like, beautiful. Like, I don't care. Like, I was going in being like, I don't care how, if I don't like it, I already love it because it's literally like, such a passion project that I'm so behind, like, because he wrote, directed, and starred in it.
Wow.
Mm.
And set in India.
Yes, set in India. But like, it's mad when you think about it, because I was thinking about this myself. I was like, what movies do I know that were set in India? and
Slumdog Millionaire.
But like apart, outside of Bollywood movies, yeah, it's like Slumdog Millionaire, Lion, which also stars Dev Patel.
Yeah.
And then this movie that I watched on Netflix before called White Tiger, which is...
Oh, yes. It was a great book as well, Brian.
It was kind of on the similar vibe of like moving up the ladder of the economic kind of structure of it all. But this was just beautiful. This was a fantastic movie.
It looks gritty and dark.
Absolutely,
and,
yeah.
Is it set in Mumbai or do we know where it is in India?
It doesn't specifically say a place as far as I know. Like it might have at some stage, but it's...
But it has that city kind of dirty feel to
like,
it, does it?
But it's like... It's so many things all at once. It has that like kind of Saltburn kind of vibe of him using different things and manipulating people to move up the ladder.
Mm-hmm.
And then it has like a John Wick influence because it has like just the action and it's just fantastic, you know. And there's some absolutely stunning shots in it. And I'm not even a shots person, but I was like at some stage being like, wow, this is just beautiful. Like,
okay, you kind of changed my mind on it. And as you said, although it says Jordan Peele is one of the executive producers, really what he did was champion the movie.
He basically got behind it and he got behind this movie that was already made and he was like, this needs to be in cinemas. And it so did. Like, I was so glad I saw it. Like, when I was talking to one of my friends about it and he was like, fantastic. And normally you go in then with this high expectation. Mm. It needs to be such a level to beat that, because if it's not there, you're so let down after it. Yeah, it just hit it. Like, it's 2 hours long, but I completely lost myself in it. Like, it was just fantastic.
And it's been called a revenge action movie. Yeah. Is anything else going on in it apart from that desire for revenge?
Like, one of the most I always love movies where it's like these little things that you do end up coming back and being helpful. And it's like, as much as it's about getting revenge and trying to kill people, it's also about like these little things of him being nice to these people and like, he gets revenge on the people that deserve it.
Okay.
But if you don't deserve it, he's kind, you know? And like, even I'm just, I have it like IMDb open there. And one of the, like, so it's action thrillers is two of the genres, but it also has One Person Army.
Okay.
As a genre, which I've never seen before.
No.
That's awesome. That's it's 7.3 on IMDb, which is absolutely solid.
Yeah, that's average enough.
And like, the only other name that I even recognize in it is Charlton Copley. So.
And does it have a big cast in it, or is it?
No, the only person I personally recognize was Charlton Copley.
Okay.
But it's just the bare bones of exactly what you need. I don't know. It's just one of these movies that maybe it's not that talked about now, but I feel like in 10 years' time, when they're looking back on great action movies, it's going to be there. It's going to be always talked about.
And then I thought I hadn't seen Dev Patel in a long time, but I'd forgotten he was in like The Personal History of David Copperfield.
Yeah.
Slumdog Millionaire obviously being his big one. I think he was in a TV series that I used to watch even before Slumdog Millionaire. Skins!
Yeah.
Yes!
He was in Skins.
There you go.
He was in Green Knight there a few years ago.
Yeah, and as you said, he's also in the other movie set in India, and now I have lost
Lion.
Lion, a great movie as well. Will we Black Pudding, Monkey Man?
Honestly, I give it like 9.
Wow.
I really enjoy it. It's just one of those movies where you just sit down and you're just lost in it.
Okay.
And it's gritty, it's real, like it's just... It's definitely the depths of India. He definitely it really showed the Indian culture, but like not the like, oh my God, it's a beautiful place. It's like, no, it's this can be
that real social culture. Yeah, of what's going on in the cities. And
do you know, like with an action movie, like when they get beat down, you're normally like, they're not gonna like, how do they keep getting back up or whatever? But because he's doing these fights for money, it's always a case of like, he gets back up and you're like, you can feel that he deserves this, you know. He knows he's able to do this. And they're like these training scenes where he's like training montage scenes, but like you think it, like where it normally a normal movie would reach the pinnacle and you think, okay, this is it, he loses and he's on the run then, and then he has to kind of build up from nothing once again.
Okay.
And it's just, you're so behind him.
Okay. So you were engrossed, it sounds
I
like.
Was absolutely in. So it's 2 hours and 1 minute long.
Okay.
And I was just in all the time. I couldn't have had a better time, I feel.
Okay. 9 Black Puddings out of 10 from Brian. Too violent for La Rappel?
Maybe. It is quite violent, but
that's
in like
your new
in
PG.
Like, in like
too
the,
violent for La Rappel.
In like a really cool kind of way. Do you know? It's like,
okay,
he kills people nice.
Yeah. That's how we'll certify stuff from now on.
Okay.
No more U's, no more PGs.
Yeah. It's just like, would Orla is
would
this,
Orla be able to watch?
Is this too sexy for Orla? Unlikely.
Unlikely. Thanks. 9 block puddings out of 10. It is called Monkey Man, directed by Dev Patel, and he is the main man in this action movie, and Brian is our main man.
Oh yeah.
The Sunday Grill on Beat 102-103.